Listen, can you hear it? It's the song of the rescue. It's the refrain of the ransom multitudes. It's the theme of those bought by the blood of the Lamb. And it tells a story of an amazing, sacrificial, redeeming love, ringing for centuries. Still, it echoes today. And so, once again, we turn our eyes to the cross of Jesus, and we stand amazed.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again.
I'm in that place.
For generations, the people of God dwelled in the presence of God, chanting their theme, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." But sin and rebellion separated the created ones from their creator. Where once fellowship reigned, a chasm now existed, and there was a silence from heaven. Then God took the unthinkable step of becoming one of us, a bridge between the earthly and the divine. And Jesus, this God in the flesh teacher, healer, and miracle worker, walked our earth, proclaiming the kingdom of God. It is now the last week of his earthly ministry. It's the Passover season, and crowds have gathered in Jerusalem for the ancient ritual. Jesus enters the city gates amid shouts of joy that celebrate him as King, the promised Messiah. A new theme is born, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. They recall the words of the psalmist, "Lift up your head, ye gates, that the King of glory may come in." Passes quickly. Jesus spends time in the temple courts with his most cherished friends, but religious leaders, already feeling threatened by his following and by his authoritative words, are now seeking the opportunity to silence him forever. On a grander scale, the forces of hell and the armies of heaven are preparing to engage for the soul of mankind. Jesus and his disciples now partake in the Passover meal, his last with them. A new covenant is ordained, his body, his blood. "Remember me," he says. "Yes, Lord, we will. We will recall your work of grace and reflect on your sacrificial love. We will remember you."
Gracious word, you make him live, this will I do.
Following the meal, a hymn is sung, as it is always in the Passover tradition. Then they departed for the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed in agony, already feeling the horrific weight of sin, which will soon bruise and batter him. Suddenly, the quiet of the garden is broken by the sound of soldiers, temple guards, and chief priests, all led by Judas. There's an arrest, a mock trial, the accusations of those blinded by hatred, and a sentence is handed down. Jesus is to be crucified. For the sins of the world, the Son of Man suffers, bleeds, and dies. Still, in the midst of chaos, tragedy, betrayal, and death, a new refrain is heard. Redeeming love, our theme, now and forever. No greater love is known than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And now, Jesus, having shown the full extent of his love, is tenderly, carefully taken down from his cross. His body is wrapped in linen, anointed with spices, and laid in a borrowed tomb. The light of the world is extinguished. The voice of truth is silenced. But then, after 3 days, tragedy gives way to triumph, and death yields to life. Love's redeeming work is done. He is alive. The story of God's amazing, sacrificial, redeeming love is finished. Listen, can you hear it? It's the song of the rescue. It's the refrain of those ransomed multitudes. It's the theme of those bought by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen.
Listen to my story. It's a story about my Jesus. See him by the seaside, talking with the fishermen, and making them disciples. Riding through Jerusalem, waving palm branches.
Hey.
In pomp and splendor. The garden, praying to his Father in deepest sorrow.
Amen.
Led before Pilate, then they crucified him. But he rose on Easter. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, he died to save us. But he lived forever.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Christ lives. Praise God, praise God. How thankful we are.
Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the music that we have heard today. The scriptures put to music, sung from the heart, touching our heart as we have heard these wonderful words. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to lead us as we continue to praise you these next moments here on Easter Sunday morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Children, if you'll follow Miss Raisa and Mr. Justin, we go to children's church.
Got a whole bunch, don't we?
Yeah.
We're so thankful for that amazing grace. Madonna. Mike, you just did a wonderful job of leading our choir. We've been practicing about every Sunday night for several months, and we're so thankful that we were able to sing this praise service today. I just love that music. Every one of those songs, I think, are perfect. It's brand new. It's never been done before. Marty Parks just wrote it this year, so it's a brand new musical based on some songs that we dearly love. Redeeming love has been my theme. So I want to thank all of those who sang and who worked within it, and appreciate Adam and working back at the soundboard and narrating it for us. Thank you so much for doing that, Adam. Well, it's good to see all of you here today. I wonder how many we have this morning. Jan, do you know? 150, that's wonderful. Just under 150, praise. How many did you say? 128, that's all right. We had 130-something last Sunday on Palm Sunday, and now this is good. I mean, for some big churches around large congregation, this is no big deal. But for us, it is, and we rejoice that all of you chose to come today. It's good to see Miss Isla Hill. Back over here, sitting by that pretty guy with the white hair, David Lowry. Miss Isla hadn't been here for a long time. She hadn't been able to come, and she's here on Easter Sunday. Let's give her a hand. I think she deserves that. Amen. Yeah, and me and her grandson-in-law sang that duet, didn't we? Gene Strode, that was a lot of fun for us. Gene, you'd never done that, had you? As far as I know, you may have before. You may be a professional. I didn't even know it. But we're so thankful for Gene and for Jana and the family. But we had a lot of joy from singing that, especially that Amen, Amen, that wonderful song. If you have your Bible, would you take it this morning? And let's just turn to the book of Romans, to Romans chapter 10. This is Easter Sunday. A special time in the life of all of us and of millions and millions of people around this world. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, in verse 1, he says, "My brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That's what Paul prayed for. He was an Israelite himself, and he wanted his people to come to Christ and come to know Jesus as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their Lord. And so he said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That's my prayer for Israel. That probably is your prayer for Israel. We know that most of the people who live in Israel today are not Christians. Most of them are not even godly Jews. Many of them are atheists, even though they go by the name of Israelis. Many of them actually say when they are witnessed to and talked to, they are atheists. They do not really believe in God at all. And so my prayer and your prayer would be that Israel would be saved. We want them to come to Christ. We hope they'll be protected from all those nuclear bombs from Iran or somewhere. But more important than that is their spiritual salvation. It's more important than that. I mean, a nation could be saved and go to hell. But we pray that Israel will come to the day when they will look and see the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that was Paul's desire, my heart's desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, he says, I bear them a witness. They have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. While they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's the trouble with everybody in the world, going about to establish their own righteousness. That's what the Jews do. That's what the Muslims do. That's what the Buddhists do. That's what the atheists, well, they don't try very hard at all if they don't believe in God at all. But they're trying to achieve their own righteousness. It's not possible to do that. They have tried for millenniums all over this world to be right with God by doing good works. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is by grace alone. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? Listen to this. The word is near thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. And here it is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, what? Say it out loud. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. What does it say next? And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That verse says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Because the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Because there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you have to believe that Jesus arose from the dead in order to be saved? Yes, you do. And I'm sorry that if you're out there and you say, well, you know, I've just come to believe after all these years of listening to television and looking at the History Channel and looking at all those things about the resurrection and seeing some modern day movies that don't really say much about it, I've just sort of come to believe that maybe that's a fairy tale. Maybe it's just a myth. Maybe it really didn't happen like that at all. Maybe the disciples just thought he arose from the dead and they went out and proclaimed it and people believed it and it's been 2,000 years of brainwashing. You may be like that. You may be like that. Apparently there are a lot of people in America and in the world who have come to that position, having once early on thought that maybe there was reality in the resurrection and the Easter story, have come to believe there's nothing to all of that and given up on it and said they don't believe it any longer. But I say to you what Paul said 2,000 years ago here in the book of Romans. In order to be saved, I had to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I had to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and therefore I was saved. And you can say the same thing, and you can say the same thing. And back yonder, you could say the same. If you say, yes, Brother David, I'm saved. I've been born again. I am a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe that Jesus rose from the dead. This says you have to believe in the resurrection in order to be saved. And I'm glad that I do. Aren't you? We believe that Christ lives. Yesterday at 4 o'clock, I had a funeral service at First Baptist Church in Nashville for a dear, wonderful lady who was 77 years old. Her sister was there who looked so much like her, they could almost be twins, although they were not. I said to her sister, when did Eddie accept Jesus as her Savior? Oh, she was a young girl, she says, when she believed in Jesus, trusted in Him as her personal Lord and Savior. I remember when she was baptized, she said. And so we rejoiced together, knowing that even though Eddie Romine, this lady, was laying in the coffin there, her husband, Jay, had died 8.5 years ago. And so the other day last week, Eddie had heart surgery. They took her into heart surgery there at the hospital in Little Rock. They did that heart surgery. They got in there and said, oops, we shouldn't have ever got in here. It wasn't a candidate for heart surgery. And so the next day, Eddie died. Good doctor, great medicine, all of those things, she passed away. But you know, I rejoice, and everybody there that was rejoicing, I said, she knows the Lord. And we know she's in the casket. We know she has died. But we also know that her spirit is with the Lord, probably in the presence of her late husband, Jay, and maybe they're just talking even now. But more importantly than that, they're with the Lord Jesus and rejoicing in His presence even now. You see, had it not been for the resurrection, I couldn't have said that. Had it not been for Jesus coming into the world, we'd have simply put her corpse in a ground, and that would have been all of it. But we're thankful today that Jesus lives. We love that theme. Redeeming love has been my theme. You know where that song, that phrase comes from? It comes from what song? There is a fountain filled with blood. It's the last verse of "There is a fountain filled with blood. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die." This song was written back in the mid-1700s, a long time ago, by a man by the name of William Cowper. You spell it C-O-W-P-E-R, but it's pronounced Cooper. William Cowper. He wrote that song. I was reading, and my wife read this morning there on the internet with me, the story of William Cowper, how that he, as a young boy, his mother died. He was just a little boy. There were 7 children. Only 2 of the boys lived. William's mother died. He had a rough time with that. He had a rough time, a rough upbringing. They said there was a bully that bullied him for several years. It almost drove him crazy. And as a matter of fact, William had such depression and all. All through his life, he struggled with deep, deep depression. But he loved the Lord. He loved Jesus. He loved to write poems. He was one of the greatest poets in all of England. He's well known. He had books and books of poetry. He fell in love with his first cousin. My, he loved Theodora. But her daddy wouldn't let them get married because they were too close kin. He didn't know that and didn't care, really. He loved her so much. But he never married, and she never married, and he had a couple of loves later on in his life. But he never married. But oh, how he had great times of depression and sorrow and misery in his life. As a matter of fact, he was put in an insane asylum, they called it back then, a facility for a few years because he was suicidal and he was always talking about killing himself. He was so depressed. An interesting story that I thought you would like. She played Amazing Grace a while ago, just before we came in here. Amazing Grace was written by John Newton. You know, John Newton, that great man who lived at the same time William Cooper did. John Newton, he had been a slave trader, brought slaves from Africa and all of that horrible thing, and suddenly was saved, turned his life around, began to preach, began to live for the Lord Jesus, a transforming power in his life because of the resurrection, because Jesus lives. And Cowper and John Newton were friends, and John Newton saw that Cowper was maybe going to take his life. He was so depressed. And it says that John Newton said, "William Cowper, William Cooper, you need to get busy and write some more poems and some more songs." And so they began to cooperate together. John Newton, Amazing Grace guy, and William Cooper, "Redeeming Love Has Been My Theme," "There Is a Fountain." And they began to cooperate together and wrote many songs. During that time, he wrote this song, "Redeeming Love Has Been My Theme and Shall Be Till I Die." Later on, he was an old man. He died of what they called dropsy. It was a terrible disease they had in those days. People still have it today. But he passed away. Why do I say all of that? Some of you all are going through problems about like William Cooper did. As a matter of fact, I told you last year about the man who wrote "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And he had these terrible bouts of depression and actually committed suicide later on in his life. But he wrote "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And Cooper wrote, "Redeeming Love Has Been My Theme and Shall Be Till I Die. There Is a Fountain." The reason I point that out is some of you all, no doubt, are going through things like that. Some of you all know what it means to know the blackness of night in the fullness of the day. Some of you all know the experience of feeling like life is not worth it. I'm just going to give up on life. I don't want to live anymore. Things are too bad. Things are too dark. There's so much sin in the world. I'm too much of a sinner. As a matter of fact, William Cooper at one point in his life, after he was writing this song, as a matter of fact, he got in deep depression, feeling that he was damned to hell, even though he was saved. And he went into deep depression thinking, "I'm lost, I'm lost." But finally, through working of God in his life, he came out of that and recognized that it was just a trick of the brain. It was not the reality. He was not lost at all. But I say all of this because some of you all, in bad marriages, in bad homes, in all kinds of things in your life, some of you are younger, some of you are older, in your middle years of life, and you feel all of this weight upon you, and you don't know what to do, and you're just about thinking, "I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm going to give up. I don't think I can go anymore." Yesterday, I turned on the computer and I listened to a sermon by one of the favorite preachers of mine from the past. He's dead, been dead several years, a black preacher, African-American preacher named E.V. Hill. Oh, I loved to listen to him when he was alive. He was one of my favorites. Now he's dead. I still go to the internet, click in E.V. Hill, Easter sermon. I heard it yesterday. Sounded like he was still alive. And the sermon that I hear Brother Hill preaching, and of course he's now in heaven, I believe, with the Lord. He knows all about that. But the sermon he was preaching was, "It's Friday, but Sundays are coming." Some of y'all may have heard some preacher preach it. I'm sure we've preached it. I preached it before myself. Any preacher worth his salt would take that and go with it, wouldn't he? "It's Friday, but Sundays are coming." Friday, I had a good service, a good Friday service at Nashville Nursing Home, like I do every year. And all of those people gathered around, and I went over the seven last words of Christ. From "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," to the thief who said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise."
To woman, behold your son. To time of darkness, when Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? To the next word, which was, I thirst. And then the next word, which was, it is finished. Down to the very last of the seven words, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I said Friday seemed like a bad day in the life of Jesus and all of his disciples, his mother, and all the others. It seemed like a dark day. I noticed at the theaters they're playing again Passion of the Christ. I think it's overdone, but Mel Gibson did a great job of showing the suffering and the pain and the anguish that Jesus went through, maybe more showing than what actually happened. But it is a good portrayal of the awful, awful time of the death of Christ. It was a dark day. They took Jesus down from the cross and laid him in a barred grave. Friday seemed like a bad day. But as E.V. Hill used to say, Sunday is coming. And it may be in your life, it seems like Friday is a bad day. Things are going from bad to worse. Don't know how you can stand it anymore. I would say to you, it may be Friday or Saturday, but praise God, Sunday's coming. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There's an open grave. The stone has been rolled away. Jesus is alive. I say to you, there is hope. There is hope in Christ Jesus. At the funeral yesterday, I quoted that song that we sing so often. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I can face the future. Life is worth the living because Christ lives. Folks, listen, there is hope because Christ lives. And because Christ lives, he can live in your heart. And he does live in mine. You know, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how. I know he lives. He lives, say it with me, within my heart. He lives within my heart. I hope and pray that today on this Easter Sunday that you can say, I know he lives. No matter what the world may say, they may all say it's not true. I know the truth. Jesus is in my life today. And if you cannot say that this morning, any of you, anywhere in here, if you cannot say that, you could say that. You could change your tune by asking Jesus into your heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You could believe on him today. And I pray that you will. Bow your heads and let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, your love. Greater love has no man than what you did, that you would lay down your life for sinful people like we are. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here today, a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, who is lost in sin without you on this Easter Sunday, that they will open up their heart and let you come in. I believe, Lord, that you're knocking on the heart of every door of everyone who's never opened it. And you're knocking, saying, please, let me come in. Just open the door. Just open the door, and I'll come in. Help them, dear Lord, to understand they can become a new person. Sins can all be forgiven, past, present, and future. They can be born again by trusting, by believing in what you did upon the cross, verified by your resurrection. Have your way, Lord, I pray, and that those who need to come to you for salvation will do so. In Jesus' name, amen.